Thank Brother Frank for giving me this opportunity tonight, and certainly thank our guests who's come out to hear me speak. It certainly means a lot to me. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's going to be a familiar story to most of you, but most of us a lot of times tend to forget the basics, and sometimes we need a reminding of the simplest of things. And that basically is what the message that the Lord's given me for us tonight. The title of it is called, Who is Your Goliath? Starting there in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we'll start reading in verse 2. It says, And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to be back in your house, Lord. I just thank you for the message that you've given me, Lord. Just give me the words to say, Lord, that they will be seen as your words and not my words, Lord. May we take them to heart, Lord. May we apply them to our lives, Lord, so that your light may shine through us to others, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm sure you've all probably heard the story of David and Goliath before. But just to paint a picture, we have the Philistines gathered together on one mountaintop. Across from them, we have the Israelite army gathered, and here we have the giant taunting the army of Israel. Just to paint a picture, a cubit equals about 18 inches or a foot and a half, and a span is half of a cubit. So that makes Goliath about 9'9". So if he was standing before me, even with me standing up here on this platform, I would still be looking up to him. So he was a very tall man, and obviously very strong and powerful. His coat weighs around 150 pounds, just his coat. And his spear was around 17 pounds. If we just think about those numbers for a minute and think about the magnitude of what Goliath was compared to the Israelites. If you think about it, Goliath is going to make Arnold Schwarzenegger look like a midget. I mean, you know, just a coat, 150 pounds, not counting his breastplate, his armament over his arms, armament on his legs, his belt, anything else, just one piece of armament was 150 pounds. So he was quite the opponent to the Israelites. Now, it doesn't tell us exactly how far this valley was between them, but obviously it was close enough for them to yell and hear each other. So they must have been in fairly close proximity to each other, each on a mountaintop. All right, let's continue reading there in verse 11, chapter 17. It says, And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was a son of Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men, and for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to battle. The names of his three sons that went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the third Shammah. And David was the youngest. The three eldest followed Saul. But David returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And when the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand. And look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, left his sheep with a keeper, took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. The Bible here doesn't tell us exactly how old David was at this point in his life. We know that he was the youngest of eight, and only the three oldest were of age to enter the army. Most scholars tend to think that David was probably around 10 or 11, probably just a guess, but a fair guess as to what he was. He was just old enough to learn to be a shepherd and to keep the sheep, which was a lot of times considered the lowest job in the family. So we see that Israel's been in battle with the Philistines for 40 days. His father gets concerned, sends him some food, and says, go and check and see how the battle's coming and bring me back a report. So we have a picture of how big Goliath was. We know that David was the youngest in the family, so he was probably very small in stature, not being fully grown. And so we have a contrast between a humongous giant and a small child. So like I said, the title of tonight's sermon is Who is Your Goliath? And I'm sure we've all heard the ending of the story. We know that David took one stone from the brook and put it in his slingshot and killed Goliath with a first shot. So as we read through this, there's 4 points that I want us to take from David's example that we can apply to our lives today. As we skip ahead to verse 28, this is at the point that David is in the camp. He's heard Goliath taunting Israel and not hearing any response from Israel. And David's there going, actually, let's start in verse 26. And it says, and David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to this man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, the oldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep within the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou might seest the battle. And David said, and what have I now done? Is there not a cause? So the first thing here that we can take to heart that David did was he knew what God was going to do for him, but yet the devil sent people along the way to try to defer him. So our first example we can take from David is not to let others' unbelief distract us from what God has called us to do. We know the devil will send people into our path to confuse us, deter us. He'll send people whose opinions we respect to deter us. Oftentimes people give advice even when it's unsolicited, all to the point of bringing us off course. After all, God spoke to us, not to them. Amen. Point number two is that God is the same yesterday, today and tomorrow. And verse 32 it says, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go with the Philistine to the fight with him. Thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took the lamb out of the flock. And when I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." So David remembered what God had done for him in the past. He remembered going up against the lion and against the bear. You know, verse 35 tells us there that when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard. Now you think about a ferocious lion coming at us. You know, even when we go to the zoo, most of the time, we don't want to get close enough to the glass or to the fence that's protecting us from the animals. We don't want to be right up there at it. But yet, here was David. He got close enough to the lion. He grabbed him by the beard. That means he was close enough for the lion to kill him, right? He was right there at him. Yet he was successful. The Lord was with him. He killed the lion, rescued the lamb. So he remembered what God had done for him in the past. As humans, our natural tendency is to want to remember the negative. If we think back over life, a lot of times it's a lot easier to remember the negative things in life that's happened to us than the positive. It was one time suggested to me that at the beginning of the year to take an empty jar and place it on a counter or somewhere prominent in your house, and every time God does something good for you, each day, write it down on a little slip of paper, put it in the jar. Doesn't have to be something big, can be something small, but every time God does something for you, write it down, put it in the jar. And then come Thanksgiving, we can empty out the jar and see everything we have to be thankful for just that year. So we think about the example of David here. We can think about all the good things that God has done for us. You know, sometimes something as simple as writing them down so that we have something to refresh our memory when we're in the heat of the battle. God's delivered us in the past, and God will deliver us today, and he'll deliver us tomorrow.
Amen.
And that was what David knew, and we can apply to our lives today. The third example from David and Goliath here is number three, is stick with what works. Verse 38 says, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assayed to go, for he hath not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off." As we said in point number three, we have to remember what God's already done for us, right? We know what works. God's already told us what to do, right? We have the book in front of us. All we have to do is read it, right?
Amen.
If we can't read it, in today's life, we can get it on CD, and we can get it read to us, right? We have no excuse. It's in our language. Only thing that's stopping us is us taking the time to actually sit down and read it. We know the story from the beginning to the end. God's given it all to us. So why is it that we're trying to change God? Why are we not sticking with what works? A lot of time it comes down to just pride. We think we know better than he does. The fourth example that we can learn from David is that the Lord is the one that fights our battles, not us.
Amen.
Reading in verse 45, said, "Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest with me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So point number four is that the Lord fights our battles. So why are we always trying to fight our own battles instead of letting the Lord do it for us? There again, a lot of times it comes down to pride. We think we can do it in our own might and our own strength, and we want to be independent and not be dependent on him. As David illustrates here, he was facing a giant, yet he was just a kid. But yet he had been through life enough to know that God had helped him in the past, and he knew that God was going to be the same throughout his life and help him no matter what the battle was. How big the battle was or how small, he knew that God was going to be with him. As we think about it tonight, I ask, who is your Goliath? While we may not have giants roaming the earth, we do have giant problems that always come our way. It may be a mountain of debt. It may be facing the loss of a loved one. And it may be that we're facing sickness or disease ourselves. I don't know, but I do know that we'll all face the Goliath in our life sooner or later. The question is, how will we react? Are we going to be a David, or are we going to be a coward like the rest of the army of Israel? Are we letting the devil defeat us before the battle even begins? God's already given us the answers, as I said before. He's given us the book. In this day and age, it's cheap enough we can all afford it. There's not multiple copies. We can read and understand it. We have good schools. But yet most of us have probably not read the book cover to cover. We've not learned that we have to depend on God and not ourselves, that all the answers are here in one book. We don't need a million self-help books. We don't need a 12-step program. Amen. For if we think about it, God's given us three easy steps to most of our problems. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24 says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in those things which he hath said, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you will receive them, and you shall have them." So we have three steps. Say it, believe it, receive it. Think about it. God made that simple. Three steps, and yet we try to turn it into a 12-step program. Whenever our Goliath comes our way, or our mountain, as Mark put it, we have to speak to the mountain, believe what we say, and we'll have it. Amen. Just as David did back here in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel. A lot of times, the reason we have trouble when it comes to our mountains and our Goliaths in life is because we don't crucify our flesh daily and we don't build ourselves up. There's a lot of simple verses that we can memorize and quote to ourselves every morning to help us get started on the right foot for when that Goliath pops up in our path. Romans 8:37 tells us that he has made us more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. 1 John tells us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in all the world. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. So if we know Jesus tonight in the free pardon of sin, he's given us all the answers. He's given us examples of people throughout the Bible who have faced their Goliath or their mountains, and he's told us how to handle them. We have to fight them. We're not to go around them. We're not to do as Jonah did and go the opposite way. But we are to speak to our mountain, and it will be removed from us. And we can go down our path as God has called us to do. As we think about David, we have the ultimate example between being how small we are and how big some of our challenges are. But you know what? Our God is even bigger than Goliath. So my challenge for each of you is tonight is to think about Goliath and think about these four simple steps and how we can apply them to our own lives and how we can apply them to our Goliaths. We all will face one sooner or later. The choice is ours of how we will respond to them. We can be a David and defeat our Goliath and move forward as God's called us to do. Or we can be the army of Israel and stand there quaking in our boots and not know what to do. The choice is ours. He's given it to us. Only you can make the decision for you. I can't make it for you. Neither can anyone else. He's given us all the answers in his book. It's just a matter of whether we'll sit down and read them, believe them, and use them when the time comes.